Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Everyday Truth Podcast. And I am joined again today with Caleb. This is becoming quite the habit.
All right, making it a streak, see how long I can go.
Well, we are, and I'm glad, actually, because we've been talking about, really for the last 3 days, this big decision that the people are making, this renewal of the covenant. It's not that they're renewing what the covenant is. Mm-hmm. And isn't that so true in our own lives that... It's almost like we're looking for a new decision to make. Yeah. But it's not the new decision that we need to make. It's the affirmation of an old decision that we need to make.
Yeah.
It wasn't that the word of God had changed. It wasn't that God himself had changed. It's that the people had changed. Mm-hmm. So we've got to come back to where we were.
Right.
I think therein is the whole idea of backsliding, you know, get back to where you were.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just like what they were talking about in chapter 9. They admitted, you know, God's been faithful, God's been good. We're the ones that changed. He's been merciful. And so we're just like you said, it's not making really necessarily a new covenant. It's just reaffirming what they've covenanted before.
Exactly. And remember, listeners, that the focus, if we're not careful, and this is a subtle difference, but the focus needs to be upon the person of God. Sometimes we make the focus the Word of God, and we become principle-centered, Bible-centered people, and we feel good about that. But therein is a subtle problem, and that is it's not the Bible to which we're returning. It's not the principle to which we are returning. It is God to whom we are returning. The Bible is the means by which we come back to God. It's the revelation of God. It's part and parcel to it, but we have to remember it's about worshiping God alone. And that's what began this whole thing, the preamble we talked about several episodes ago. So last episode, Caleb, we did not even attempt to read the names.
That's a no-go.
But you did a great job reading the name Nehemiah.
I'm
very proud of you.
Spot on.
But the point we brought out is that signing something, setting your seal to something, is tantamount to saying, I represent this and I do not intend to change this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to alter or abrogate this. I am setting my seal to what God has said. I am in full agreement, and this is my leadership intention. So we saw that among the leaders. We saw accountability, we saw representation, and then we saw leadership itself. So how do people respond when leaders take the lead? We can't always predict that, but typically when leaders jump in first. When leaders make the decision preemptively, we see good things happen.
Yeah.
I was reading some statistic, it's been some time ago, and I'm not going to try to give you the percentages because I can't remember exactly, but it was significant that when a church reaches a child, there's an X percentage to reach the whole family.
Yeah.
But when a church reaches the father, there is an exponentially greater percentage of reaching the family.
Yeah, it's a very high percentage. I remember seeing something similar to that. Yeah.
And maybe one of you listeners could check that out and comment that in. But that's a sober thought. So here in Nehemiah chapter 10, We find the leadership making the decision first. How do the others respond? Look at the others. And listeners, we're just going to look at two verses today, and then we'll finish out chapter 10 tomorrow. And really, by next week or the next five or six episodes, we're going to be able to to finish this great book. But look at the two verses there. Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, where the Bible says, "And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters," remember that they would be the gatekeepers, "the singers," and then I just love this next one, "the Nethinims." It just sounds cool, doesn't it? The Nethinims. The Nethinims were literally, to put it in today's vernacular, they were the servants of the servants. So these were people who lived their lives serving people who were already servants themselves. And lest that be viewed in a denigrated way, to say, oh, yeah, they're kind of the lowest of the low. You know, they're the minimum wage people that stock the shelves at Walmart, you know. I would never do that. They're flipping burgers at McDonald's. That's not the thought here. The thought here is that these are humble servants of God that are worshiping God by serving others. I think about the great, we call it the kenosis passage of Philippians 2, meaning, you know, Christ emptying himself, divesting himself of the privileges of deity, Jesus being God the Son, divested himself of the prerogatives of deity. He became a servant. He took upon him the form of man, a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the ignominious death of the cross. So what was Jesus doing? He was becoming the ultimate servant, a servant of servants. So when you think about Nethinim, don't think of it in a low way. Think of it in a high way.
Yeah.
So the Nethinims. And the Bible says, "And all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding." There is a mouthful in that one verse. So first of all, we're seeing the people that were jumping in with the leadership to get on board. Hey, I want to sign up. Mm-hmm. I want to set the seal. I want to do what my leaders have done in following God. And we see these people. But who are the people that are on board? The people that are on board are the people that have separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of God. So therein is a great principle, Caleb, about separation. So we hear a lot about separation, and separation is an important Bible doctrine. It's an important Bible doctrine all throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, even some other terms that we use really find their context in separation. Words like holiness, words like sanctification, separated unto the person of Christ. So when the Bible says that these people join the leadership in signing and setting the seal, the Bible says these were people that had separated themselves from the people of the land, and they had separated themselves unto the law of God. So talk about that, the two sides of separation, separating from, but then separating unto.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of like a replacement and renewal kind of concept. When you're separating from something, you know, I separate, you know, from, you know, say there's a bad influence, you separate from that bad influence. That's just one part of it, is turning away from that influence. But the next part is to turn to a good influence. So these people, when they're separating from the people of the land, it's not just they're removing themselves from the circle of people, but they're doing it for a purpose, and that is to turn to God. And you can't have the two at the same time. You can't, you know, be friends with God and be, you know, friends with the world. So they said, okay, this influence needs to go. So we not only have to separate from something, but we have to separate to something, or else we're going to go right back to what we separated from.
That's the point. And that's the point of clarification I wanted to bring, because at the first part of your explanation, you said the next part is, but I don't think it is the next part. I think separation is one choice that has two sides to it. Okay, two sides of the same coin. We're turning from unto. So therein is, okay, for instance, if we just do turn from things, but we're really not turning to God, that's moralism. That's the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the name Pharisee means separated ones. They were more than willing to separate from, but what Jesus so aptly pointed out in some of his excoriating messages to them was they really didn't have a heart for God. So they were good at separating from, but they didn't have a heart for. They weren't turning to God from idols. That's what Paul said about the Thessalonians. They turned to God from idols. It's not two steps, it's one step. But it's one step with the right focus. And the right focus in separation is, I love God. I want to please God. I want my life to reflect the character of God, the covenant of God, the commandments of God. So separation is really about who. It's about the person to whom I'm separated. And therein is the focus. Therein is the motivation. So if, as New Testament believers, we want to live a holy life, we can do it one way. By saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But just by not doing things, that doesn't assure that I have a heart for God. And really what that does is it puts the emphasis on what I can do,
yeah,
on the character I have, mm-hmm, on the results that I can create. And it's moralism. And moralism simply lifts people up in pride. But true separation is when I say, how love I thy law. And I love the Lord Jesus, and the love of Christ constraineth me. And no, I don't want to do that because it would dishonor the Lord. And no, I don't want to go there or associate with that because I love the Lord. I want people to know that I'm in solidarity with him. You see the difference?
Yeah.
The difference in separation is motivation and focus. Motivation and focus. So we find a great example of people that are signing up, sealing to this covenant, but for the right reason.
Mm.
Separation from is just a necessary part of a separation too, because you cannot serve God and mammon. Isn't that what Matthew said? Yeah. Or what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? That's how Paul told the Corinthians. So whether it be the Corinthians or, you know, Matthew, chapter 6, or whatever other passage, separation in its essence is what we're separated to, and not the focus is not what we're separated from. That's just a necessary consequence of a focus upon God.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 29, which is the second and last verse that we'll read today, it says, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law. That harkens back to the way by which the people had originally recommitted to the covenant when they came to the promised land. They stood on one mountain, yeah, Mount Gerizim. They stood on another mountain, Mount Ebal. Shechem was in the middle. That's the place of the original altar of Abraham. And one half of the people shouted the curses of God's word across the valley. And the other half said, amen. And then one half shouted the blessings. In other words, some of God's word is negative.
Mm.
Don't do, don't do. Some of it is positive, but they must be viewed symbiotically. They work and live together. So saying yes to something means I'm saying no to something. Saying no to something means I'm saying yes to something. And saying yes without saying no, or saying no without saying yes, yeah, is to confuse the balance of the word of God.
Mm.
So the Bible says in verse 29 that they clave to their brethren, their nobles. In other words, we're making the decision they made. See the power of influence? We're making the decision our leaders made. They entered into that curse, into that oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, to observe it, to do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and his statutes. So what a great two verses, Caleb. Oh yeah. My. Separation, what is it? I love God. I want to serve God. Therefore, no to that, no to that, no to that. And then I want to obey God's word, which means all the yeses and all the positives, but also means all the negatives and all the no's. I want to be a follower of Jehovah God.
Amen.
So two verses, but a whole lot of information. Glad you joined us today, listeners, for an exciting teaching from Nehemiah chapter 10. Tomorrow, we'll finish the chapter, or I should say next episode. We'll finish the chapter, and I hope that you can join us again. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.